You come from what was named the feminist martial art film. Mm-hmm. You are named as a feminist artist, but you do not usually thematize feminism as a self-referential topic, but usually you incorporate it in different, speaking about different levels of politics or different levels in society.
I try to do it also when the topic is not openly about women's issues, gender or feminism as such. I think it's so difficult to define feminism in the first place, and a friend of mine gave a very good definition. She said, feminism is if you try to do things well. So in this way, I think that you can be aware of it and create a feminist angle even if you don't talk about women's issues at all.
It seems that when you were younger, at the very beginning, you did try also to talk about it more straightforwardly, maybe also because of the content of the society in the 80s, for example, was much different from the media point of view and from every other aspect. It was different to what we are facing now.
Well, actually, at that time, I didn't talk about it at all. In the 80s, feminism was undergoing a sort of crisis in the sense that the feminism of the 80s was aesthetically, in a way, not very challenging anymore. And also, let's say, the first generations of women had got in power and also become corrupted, in a sense. So this wave of feminism had lost its legitimacy. On the other hand, this is also the era of Reaganism and Thatcherism, so there's a huge rollback, you know, in women's rights, but also in basically all areas concerning women. In that period, women are supposed to go home and have children, you know, leave the workplace. And this also reflects in the women's, let's say, in the role models of what women have to look like. It's the era of the supermodels and all stuff like that. So actually, in that era, I think we were very confused about this whole situation, and we were trying more sort of intuitively, you know, to experiment with new feminist role models, which at that moment didn't have any legitimacy, you know, experimenting with role models from trash movies and all stuff like this.
What you used in this film was a Super 8 footages of the film that you made in the 80s, and then compare it to the what happened later to this friend of yours who played a leading role. As you have mentioned, it has been utilized by different political interpretations, and you said that the whole film varies a lot of different levels, and I would like if you could present one of the levels, which I think that you use also in other films, is this documentary level.
Yes, I mean, there is of course this huge skepticism of mine to present any authentic or to let's say to pretend that I really have access to the truth of, first of all, what happened to my friend. I believe, and many people believe, that she was killed by the Turkish armed forces, but nobody can prove it. There is no image. There's, of course, the whole truth, so to speak, of the Kurdish situation, which I cannot claim to have any access to authentic representation because I simply do not know enough about it. But on the other hand, I don't think there could be any sort of authentic psychological portrait of her either. So I'm faced with a lot of impossibilities, you know, of reaching authenticity. And in this sort of impasse, as I had the feeling that actually the image, the materiality of the image, is a real object. It has its own reality. And I can talk about this reality of the image. I don't want to, you know, there is this huge obsession in thinking about the documentary. Is it real? Is it manipulated? Does it correspond to the reality? And you're sort of being drawn into a sort of structural paranoia, you know. Oh, the real has become inaccessible, we cannot represent it, and so on and so on. And in this way we forget that images are real. They have their own reality, and we can talk about this reality at least. So, and this is what I tried. I'm not in any of the films pretending to give any sort of accurate portrait, neither of the situation, nor of the persons, nor of the politics even involved. But I can try to give an honest account of how those images I use were made, in which context, and how they traveled, and how they changed their meaning.
That is very true to the other two pieces as well. The November, where you use one image from also from 80s that you made, and then you follow up the story from that, and then the other one where you follow your exhibition at Documenta 12 on other medias and how they are represented in the media space. Mm-hmm. So that, like, it applies to what you've said. In some of your texts where you analyze the film, you always, in your analysis of the film, you would always do a very in-depth analysis of the formalist ideas in the film, but then apply it to a very factual changes in the society. Mm-hmm. And before, you mentioned a Thatcherian effect, and I was very shocked by what you wrote about Takeshi Kitano, for example, who's such a internationally renowned.
Well, I mean, he became famous as a so-called TV host, which is the, I mean, now it's everywhere in Europe on the private TV channels, this sort of completely senseless and empty talk shows where people are basically talking about nothing, this celebrity, you know, sort of discussions. But when I came to Japan at the end of the 80s, it was completely new to me, you know. But this had, I mean, Japanese TV at that time was world renowned for being, you know, top of the world in terms of stupidity, really. And this was, of course, and I realized that later, an effect of the privatization of TV, of the influence of, you know, large corporations who would advertise and so on and so on. And in this situation, Takeshi, this was his TV host show name, invented this completely silly game show where about a few hundred participants would start and get eliminated through certain, you know, competitive games, and that at the end he would fight against the surviving few. And of course it was playful, silly and so on, but this was really embodying the spirit of, you know, the Thatcherist neoliberal revolution, the spirit of competition and of elimination, which of course now has become standard in TV shows like Big Brother and all these song contests and so on and so on. But I think he was one of the first people to really realize this idea on TV.
On the other hand, you have a kind of a constant reservation thoughts what you're doing, though you are actually going towards the documentary filmography or documentary video.
Yes, I mean, there's really this change of paradigms in terms of the relation of the image to what it is showing. One used to think that the image shows a reality which was there before, you know, and then comes a camera, represents the reality, and then we have a true image or whatever. But I think now another aspect has really come into the foreground, which is that the image creates the reality. You know, the image becomes an agent